Tonight, I'll just sum up a little bit where we've been and where we're headed tonight. We're getting into something I think is kind of interesting. I think it'll be interesting. We're going to find out what is required for the new me to become a spiritually mature Christian, where each of us have the potential to bear fruit 100-fold in our lives. In each area of our life, there's three primary areas of each of our lives. What are we? We are a what?
Spirit.
We have a
soul.
And we live in a... So we're a three-dimensional being, right? We are a spirit, we have a soul, as you said, and we live in a body. Well, God meant us to prosper in all three of those areas, spiritually, mentally, soulishly, or mentally, and in our body, physically, and materially, in this world. Anything that, when I say physical prosperity, I'm talking not only about the physical body, but the things the physical body interacts with in the world. Okay? Finances would come under that, for example. You know, you need finances for this body to live and to get along in the world. So God meant for all three parts of our body to be taken care of. So we're going to talk about tonight a little bit. It's something that's kind of new to me, really. I had a couple other things. I had a whole outline prepared, for example, on the body. I thought we'd get into that next. We really haven't covered it in the depth we have the others. And Marianne was kind of wanting me to do that. She's heard it before. But I don't know. I just couldn't get settled in that. And then I made another whole outline on being led by the Holy Spirit. And that seemed good for a day or so, but, you know, that was earlier in the week, and I just couldn't settle into that for some reason. Finally, I just said, you know, Lord, you know, here we are Saturday, and I'd kind of like to get some clue, at least, of what we're going to be talking about tomorrow. And so, you know, I really didn't have any real revelation, but I just had a feeling like, well, if I just open the Bible, start reading the first of the Gospels, and just go along until something hit, you know. Did you ever do that? Just, you know, just read along and say, when something goes kind of zing, I'll stop at that and just see what God has. So I did that, and I got up to Matthew 13, and something went zing, and I'd like to share that with you. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, and while you're doing that, it would save us a little time, I believe, if you'd also open your Bibles and put your finger in there. I won't very often do this, but to Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. So just those three places, if you would, open your Bibles. That's Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. The verse I got down to that stopped me cold was verse 23 in Matthew 13. But let's back up a little bit and kind of set the stage for what's going on here. You all recognize this as the parable of the sower. You all remember the parable of the sower. In fact, this parable is repeated in three different Gospels. The three that we've, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So let's just go through quickly the first part. The verse 23 is what I want to really deal with tonight. So let's just start with verse 18. Jesus is speaking. It's always a good idea when Jesus is speaking to keep in mind this is the Lord Himself talking. So whatever He says goes, right? I mean, He knows what He's talking about, right? Jesus knows. Hear ye, therefore, the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and with joy receives it. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he's offended. So we're going through here, we're seeing three different stages of the word going forth. And what happens to the word? All right, we've seen two of them so far. The third one is, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And finally, verse 23, but he that receives the seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also, now get this, bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. So here we have the picture Jesus is painting of the seed being the word of God and the soil being our hearts. Okay? You know, as I was reading this, I was just thinking, you know, if I went around this room right now and gave everybody a $5 bill, we'd all have the same thing, wouldn't we? It'd all look the same. It'd be the same. We could do the same thing with it. But you know, as I read this, I was thinking, you know, it's not the same with the Word. You know, I could stand up here, or anybody else could stand here, or you could read the Bible on your own, and everyone would get a little bit different something. And it's dependent upon what kind of soil they're receiving this Word into. Isn't that interesting? That one person like myself or somebody else or you if you were up here could give forth something. That doesn't change. Everybody's ear canal hears the same words. But somewhere between hearing those words and getting into our heart, we all do different things with it. That's what Jesus is saying here. The thing is, it's all the same Word. All the pure Word of God. It's all the Gospel. It's reading the Bible here. But there's differences in the soil that it goes into, and that seed will sprout differently depending upon what kind of soil it's put into. So what Jesus' purpose here is, he's trying to tell us how to have good soil. How to make it so when that Word goes in, whether you're reading the Word on your own or whether you're hearing it preached or whatever, goes into good soil and bears fruit. That's the whole point of this whole thing, to bear some fruit. And he says in some of this good soil, it'll bear fruit 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And we'll get to that a little bit later, but first I just want to kind of nail down this one point here that we're talking about bearing fruit. That's the whole point here, is bearing fruit. Okay, so I read this and I thought, well, that's really interesting, that three different returns you can get in a good soil. And I thought to myself, what's different here? Well, we're the soil, God's Word's the seed. It's interesting that fruit bearing in life depends exclusively on seeing that we receive seed into good soil and not on our own abilities, who we know, who we are, or how hard we try. Isn't that interesting? We all got the same potential here. I don't care who you are, we can all become good soil. And there's none of us has to be at a disadvantage. I mean, we could have college graduates in here. We can have people that never finished high school. You know, just in the mental realm talking about it. And God's saying that if the person, whoever you are, will just somehow, whatever this is, make themselves good soil, that will bear fruit in them 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. I'm just kind of going over this in a little different ways to show you that something that I've never really thought about before. You know, you tend to, in a worldly manner, you tend to think of some things sometimes as, well, certain people have certain abilities, certain people know certain people. They have somehow a leg up on the rest of us. But it's interesting that when it comes to getting fruit from the Word of God, it has nothing to do with any of those things except the type of soil you are. It doesn't have anything to do with the seed. The seed's all the same, isn't it? The seed is the Word of God. So God isn't looking at one person and said, I think I'll give you really good seed, and I think over here I'll give you a little bit of half-rotten seed, and you're not getting any seed. No, the seed is all coming the same. The only difference is something that we have control over. Isn't that interesting? We can control the state of the soil that the Word is received in. All right, another thing to think about is, for those people who are good soil, see, we've covered the three bad soils. We've covered the one that was just the rocky soil that didn't get in at all. Or the real hard ground didn't get in at all. Then we saw the rocky soil where it got in a little bit and sprouted up for a while and then died off. Then we saw the thorny, where the thorns grew up and choked the Word. But see, we're talking now about, we've gone through all that. We're good soil, say. But even among good soil, the return is different sometimes. Wonder why? I wondered about that this week. You wonder about it a little bit? Maybe you already know. I didn't know this. I thought, why in the world would it be different? And I think I understand why it's different. I'm sure I understand why it's different. And I want to share that a little bit tonight. We saw here in verse 23 that he that receives seed into the good ground, now listen to what it says, is he that hears the Word and what? It says understands it, right? All right? That's all the criteria you see here. Let's see, we've gotten through this. We're all good ground now, okay? We're all good ground. Now, understanding it is the key to receiving this return here, whether it's 30, 60, or 100-fold. Would you agree with that? We don't know what return we're going to get yet. We just know that one of the criteria for receiving it is to understand it, right? Okay, now turn over to Mark chapter 4, the same parable. And we get down to verse 20, and Jesus said, "And these are they which are sown in good ground." Here we are, good ground again. "Such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now here we are again. We got the same verse. And if you read both verses quickly, you say, same thing. Same verse, you know. But it's not the same. This one has a different criteria on it. This one says, what is the criteria? Hear the word and what?
Accept it.
Receive it. Accept it. Isn't that interesting? Now, two different Greek words, two places in the Bible. You ever notice, let me just pause, you ever notice this about the Bible? That all the riches aren't just laying on the surface. You know, I was thinking today about the gold rush days. When they first rushed out to California, and they sent back the word on the riches that were there, you could pick nuggets off the ground out there. I mean, there was places where you could just walk and pick gold off the surface. And I thought, that's sort of like it is when you become a new Christian in some degree. It seems like when you're a brand new Christian, you just open the Bible, you baptize in the Holy Spirit, and whatever you read, you just go, wow, you know. That's the way it was with me. My goodness, I never knew this was here. Look at all this, you know. It's just ministering to you so much. And it's sort of like just picking up nuggets off the surface almost. But as you go along for a while, it seems like as you grow, you know, these things become a little more difficult to extract. And, you know, I think that's what, you know, I don't know exactly the full reason for that, but it seems like you've got to dig a little bit more. But boy, the riches are still there if you'll just dig down in there, you know. And so that's what we're going to do a little bit tonight. We're going to just dig down in there a little bit and see what we got here. So first of all, we saw he that receives seed in the good ground is he that understands it. Here in this verse, we saw that he that receives seed into the, or he that bears fruit, 30, 60, and 100, receives it. So we got understanding, receiving, those two things now, right? And over in Luke 8, let's look at verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." This one's even different. I don't know why the Holy Spirit didn't put it all in one verse like this, but I think it kind of emphasizes it somehow, but having them separate and having to find out and look at the three accounts and to see what's different. So we've got three things that are necessary if you want to get a 30, 60, or 100-fold return. First, we have to receive the word into our heart. Okay? We'll talk about that a little bit. Secondly, we have to understand it. We have to spend some time. We'll get into what that word, that Greek word, means. But it turns out it means to meditate upon the word. And thirdly, we've got to keep it or hold fast to it. Now, let's just talk about that a little bit more, okay? Where I am right now on your outlines, if you're looking along, is 2A. All right, first of all, Jesus said that if we're going to bear fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold, we're going to have to receive the seed. Now, that seems obvious, doesn't it? But you know what? It's awful easy not to receive the seed sometimes. You can sit in church, you can read your Bible. But I'm saying we got the whole denominational world out there that's got the same Bible we do, and they read it entirely differently in many cases. Yeah. All right? Let's say you're in a church that doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They've got the same Bible. It says the same thing ours does. But when they get to that one chapter, when they get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I don't know what happens there. If somehow it's not received, you know what I mean? They seem to be, they can live a normal life, go along, everything's fine, and just kind of reject that part of it. Why? Because they never received it. And you might not receive it simply because you've heard from someone else, don't receive that part of it, but you don't realize this is the Bible here we're talking about, evidently. But that's not for today or whatever. Now, sometimes they say, you know, healing, it's not for today. It went out with the apostles, you've heard that one, right? But we know in this church that's not true. But some people, our brothers and sisters, even born-again people out there, believe that. And so they're operating at a disadvantage. They're not going to be able to bear fruit completely the way the Lord wants it here. 130, 60, 100-fold. Because why? They're not receiving the word in that area, at least. Okay? So it's kind of a subtle thing here. Receive is a Greek word, I won't pronounce it here, means to admit, to delight in, to take up, to take upon oneself, to allow admittance, to acknowledge as one's own, to be admitted with approval. In other words, to consciously open up our renewed mind to receive with eagerness, openness, and humbleness the reproof, correction, and instruction of the Word of God. Okay, and to do this by looking directly into it with no preconceived notions. Look, read it for yourself. Read it for what it says. Now, this is the Word of God. I've learned more things when I just had to try to put aside my mind that maybe already thinks it knows something and say, what is he really saying here? Let me just open up here and see what God is trying to say, rather than closing that part off. So to be good ground and bear fruit 130, 60, 100 fold, first of all, you have to receive the Word of God. It's got to go in. Okay? Secondly, you have to understand it, it said. That was the second thing Jesus said. So what does that mean? It's a Greek word, S-U-N-I-E-M-I. It means to put together mentally. Now, that's interesting. To put together. Put what together? All the things that you're reading here. To put it together. See, that's more than just reading it. Just quickly reading a verse. Get my three chapters in. When you put something together, what you're doing is you're allowing your mind to roam through that, and you're thinking about your life, you're thinking about how you would have been approaching this possibly in the past, how this might require a change. You're really thinking about how this would affect my life if I did it. So that's putting it all together. Another meaning is to consider thoughtfully, to bring together the parts, to perceive, to join together in the mind, to think upon, to unite in understanding. In other words, you know, the parts I like are to put together mentally, to bring together the parts, to join together in the mind. In other words, the Holy Spirit, when you read the Word of God or hear it preached or read it for yourself, is trying to put together what you're reading with your life. Not somebody else's life, normally, I find out. You know, I read that and say, boy, that's good for somebody else. They ought to read that. And I got in trouble, you know, reading it that way. You know, we've had Bible studies and different things. And sometimes if you're not careful during the week in preparing a lesson, you can think about the people that are in the group and you can say, you know, that's what they need to hear. Maybe if I read this extra carefully, I'll be able to help them this week. Do you know that always falls flat when you try to do that? Now, the Lord may give you a scripture at the time you're talking to the person or something, but usually I find the stuff I read in my private time is for me. If it jumps off the page, I better look at Mike and see what God's trying to say to Mike. Do you notice it says in James 1:23, verse 25, it says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then it says that what the word is like is a mirror. And when you look into the Bible, you're looking into a mirror. You know, you're not. When you look in a mirror, you see your own face, don't you? You don't see, I don't see Mary Ann's face. I'll never forget the time I was thinking, you know, Mary Ann really ought to be, you know, more in agreement with me on things. After all, I'm the leader of the family. I'm a Christian not too long. She straightened me out pretty quick on that one. But see, I was looking, and it says, wives, be in submission to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And the Lord showed me, says, look, that was such a bone of contention in the church that I started off the verse with wives, and I started off the verse with husbands, so they wouldn't get confused on who I'm talking to here. You read the one that says husbands, and let Mary Ann read the one that says wives. So my point is this. When you look in a mirror, you see yourself. But it says if we're not careful and we don't do what the Word is telling us about ourselves, we'll go away and forget what manner of man we are, and that man will not be blessed in his deed. But the man that looks faithfully into the Word of God, looks at his reflection as a mirror, sees what he sees, I mean, takes attention to what he sees there, and then changes his life or does something with what he saw, he says, that man will be blessed in his deed. There is a key to people's lives, and they haven't seen it. And that is, when you read the Bible and you see something in there that applies to you, be sure you don't walk away from it. Because these things are precious. You know, the Holy Spirit at that moment is quickening you. That may be the only time during the whole day or a whole week, or hopefully not, the whole month where He's got your attention and He's finally got that thing right before your face here and He's saying, do this, Mike. And I go, that's interesting. Boy, I could see where I really could prove. Oh, well, you know. And the first thing I know, I go off my way. And I've missed a wonderful thing from the Lord. Because people miss the supernatural, looking for the spectacular. You know what I'm saying? They all want something touchy-feely, but the biggest things in life are these supernatural times when you look into the Bible and you see something about yourself and the Holy Spirit is gently nudging you to go in that direction and to grow, and we turn our back on it. That is a precious thing. This is what it's all about, really, is these times in the Word when the Holy Spirit gets your attention, shows you something about your life, and He's trying to lead you on to the next level. He's trying to bless you financially. He's trying to complete that pass to you. We look at it, and we don't respond, and we walk away. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. Okay, so point B here is once we've let the Word in, to meditate upon that Word. Now, here's something I learned today. Don't reverse the order. In other words, if you stick your mind out in front before you receive it and start analyzing it with your worldly mind and don't let that Word go in, it may never get there. You know, I've done that before. Have you ever done that? You hear something, well, I don't know, I never heard that before, and that's not quite what my church taught. I'm just going to... See, what you've done then is you've gotten the cart before the horse. We've gotten our mind out in front. We're trying to understand it before we've received it. Can you see that? We need to receive it first. It is the Word of God, after all. Let's take it inside our brain gate and analyze it and meditate upon it. Let's not analyze it first and then refuse it admittance if it isn't. I mean, if it is the Word of God, we better let it in. You understand what I'm saying? But if it doesn't match our experience or what other people have said or tradition or what the guys at work said or what my mother said or something, don't reject it. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's trying to tell us how to receive the Word into good soil so we can bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And He's alerting us to some problems that could cause this Word to be stopped and never to get in there. Okay? And the third thing is to keep hold of the Word through whatever comes. That's the part where He says, keeps, he that keeps the Word. So we've got three things Jesus said. To receive the Word, to understand the Word, or meditate on it until we understand it. And third, then, to keep hold fast of that Word. So you can receive it into your brain. You can meditate upon it and say, oh, I see something here. I see this. I need to change. I need to do this. I need to get right with so-and-so. I need to ask them for forgiveness. Whatever it's telling you to do. Or maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's something you see a light on healing. Or you've had a problem in your life with something that's just a chronic thing that you haven't got rid of. You're receiving. I see God wants me well. I can see that He always wants to heal. We've got that established. We receive that into our hearts. Now we need to meditate upon it. You know, get it from here down here. You know, it's still kind of trying to get... We're receiving it in one sense, but now we need to meditate on it until all of a sudden it goes, you know, I am healed. Jesus already took this, just like He did my sin. See, I'm not the sick trying to get well, healed. I'm the healed Satan's trying to make sick. You know, it's a whole different way of looking at it. And get that revelation. Okay, once you've gotten that revelation, then the third thing Jesus is saying is hold fast to it. Now, if you do these three things, Jesus said, you're going to, that thing, healing, prosperity, whatever it is going to bear fruit in your life. 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. Okay, can you kind of see that? There's three steps now to being good soil. Now let's just turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I was looking at this today and I suddenly thought, you know, Solomon said the very same thing back here in chapter 4 of Proverbs. Under the inspiration of the same Holy Spirit, though, he said in verse 20, he said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Well, inclining your ear would be another way of saying receive the word. You know, put yourself in a position to hear the word of God. Incline your ear unto his sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. That would be the same thing as saying meditate on it. In other words, you incline your ear to the word, you take it in, and then you don't let it depart from your eyes. You keep mulling it over. You keep meditating on whatever that problem is. I'm not saying the word you should be concentrating on primarily is the areas in your life that need fixing. Try to find the thing in your life that's giving you the most problem. And then find the scriptures on that. Let them in. Meditate on them. Okay? So he's saying here, first, incline your ear into his sayings. Secondly, don't let them depart from your eyes. That means over and over and over and over. Go over whatever that scripture or scriptures are that cover your situation. You know, until it becomes more real to you than the lie that says this isn't for you. The reason we have to do this is because we got a world out there that's constantly over and over and over saying this stuff is not true and it won't work. And you can't just hit it and miss, hit it a lick and go. It won't work. And especially today, I mean, I've never, you know, when I was a kid, you know, the biggest problem in our classroom when I was a kid was chewing gum and talking. That was it. I mean, that was up into junior high school. No, but be careful in there. You chew gum in there, you're going to get in trouble with her, you know. We thought that was bad. You get chewed out for chewing gum or talking in class and have to stand in the corner or whatever. The worst thing I ever did in school was not to vote for the teacher's son in a talent contest. We were all supposed to, Ted Mack's original amateur hour, we were all supposed to send in votes during the week. They'd have these kids, and then all during the week they'd get votes, and next week they'd announce who wins. So she says to me, she says to the class, now, my daughter was in this. Well, I've got always the wise guy. I says, who else was in it? I says, well, it was a kid that played the harmonica, and it was somebody else. And I said, I'm voting for him. I had to stand in the corner all day. Just obstinate. I didn't know how good that kid was, but I just knew I wouldn't vote for her. How did I get on that? How did I get over there, honey? You must know. I haven't a clue. There was a reason. Oh, I guess it was school, you know. The things that were serious. Yeah, I was serious. I was humiliated all day long. I had to stand there with my nose in the corner because I wouldn't vote for the teacher's kid in the... But, you know, we got bigger problems today. You know, I'm telling you right now, it's a personal thing. If it hadn't been for the praying in the Spirit and for staying in the Word, I don't know how Marianne and I got through some of the things we've been through in the last couple of years. Well, actually, it's been going on for 15 years. My daughter first, and then our son. The enemy knows. He'll go after the weak one. You know, he'll cut out the one that's the weak, and he'll go for that one, knowing that he can affect everyone else around them that loves them through that one if he can get a hold of them. You know, and it's obvious what he tries to do. But you know, Marianne, I walk in joy and peace and every day. Don't worry about anything. But I'm telling you, if it wasn't for keeping my face in this thing, I couldn't do it. I flat could not do it. I mean, we've had two in the last, you know, gone this far, in the last 4 months where our son almost died. Could have been easily killed. Two cars completely gone. And miracles both times. And these calls in the middle of the night, but yet the peace is there, the joy is there. That's got to be God. So anyway, incline your ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You see that keep? It's all here, folks. First, incline your ear. That's let it in. Secondly, let them not depart from your eyes. Meditate on them. And thirdly, then keep them in your heart. See that keep? That's the third. Solomon, the Holy Spirit, saying the same thing in this verse, if you can receive it, that Jesus was saying back here in these three verses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Same exact thing. And finally, it says in verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. That's what God's asking us to do. Ponder the path of your feet. Open the Word of God. See what God is saying to you. And don't walk away from that mirror. But whatever He shows you, then do it. And you'll have joy. You'll have peace. Things will go good in your life. You'll start bearing fruit. 30, some 60, some 100. Okay, now we're going to get into the hundredfold return. You like it? Does that sound good to you? That's to me. Oh, yeah. I heard an oh, yeah over there. 30 sounds pretty good. I mean, that's better than you get. You know what you get at most banks is, what, 7% at the most? 7%. You know what that is on a fold? That's about 1/15 of a fold. It takes 15/7 to get one. You understand what I'm saying here? 7 times 15 is 105%, right? So a little less than 15 times what you get at the bank is one fold. Do we all know what a hundredfold return is? It'd be 100 times what you started with. 100 times. not 100%. I hear this all mixed up in teaching sometimes. It's not 100%. 100% would be just double what you had. If I gave you 100% return on your investment, you'd get back your investment plus that much more again, right? But if I give you back 100-fold, that's 100 times. That's how good this is. Even 30-fold's good. Okay. Turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 30. It says here, verse 28. Peter began to say unto Jesus, "Lo, Jesus, we've left all and we followed you." And Jesus answered and said, "Truly, I say unto you, there is no man that's left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life." Now, all this is really saying, if you read about it, is Jesus saying, "I want 100% of you. I want you to give 100% to my gospel." Now, we're all not all ministers, are we? Or a missionary. But we're all in the body of Christ, aren't we? And just because we're not a pastor or a prophet or evangelist or teacher or anything like that, we're all lay people here. All God's requiring of us is to walk faithfully to whatever He's called us to do. He doesn't want all of us to be these people. You know, I learned not too long ago, God rewards faithfulness, not ministries. When you go to heaven, your crown and your reward is not going to be for what ministry you upheld. It's how faithful you are to whatever thing God called you to do. If God calls Phil to do something in this handyman ministry, which I know he's interested in, the church, what do you call it? Helping hand? Helping hand. If that's what God wants Phil to do, and he does it to his best of his ability, and we've got another minister in town who's wonderfully gifted of God to preach the word, we don't know this minister, just somebody, and he doesn't give 100% to that, Phil is going to get more of a reward than this minister. Because God rewards faithfulness, not ministries. So what God, I think he's saying here is, look, all I'm asking of you is to give yourself 100% to the gospel. Now, how do we do that? I think what we do is just by doing what it says, doing the word, and fulfilling whatever God's called each one of us to do, whatever that might be. Whatever God's put in your heart to do, do it with every bit of you got for the gospel. Because Jesus is the Word of God, right? He is the gospel. He is the good news. Right? So if we just do 100% with all of our soul what God asks us to do in our lives, we qualify. That's what I see here. For this 100-fold return. Jesus said it this way. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Okay, says the gospel always, always has the potential to produce 100-fold. Okay, we just read that. The gospel will produce 100-fold. Well, where does this 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold come from? I was meditating on this, and I thought, Lord, you know, what's the difference here? I mean, we got the same seed. We all got access to the same seed. I think it's neat that God gave us all the Bible, don't you? He didn't just do it all verbally, pass it down verbally. We get all mixed up. You've played that game in school, haven't you, where you pass this saying around, you get to the other end to see what it sounds like. Can you imagine we'd pass this around for 2,000, 5,000 years, what it would sound like now? But God was smarter than that. He gave us written down Bible here. We all have the same basic truth. Okay, so we all have the same possibility here. So the gospel, the seed's the same. That doesn't change. Here's the seed. You got the same seed I got. The difference is the soils. But let's say we're all good soil, all right? We've all receiving the Word. We're all meditating on the Word. And we're all holding fast to the Word. Well, how come some of us are going to receive 30, some 60, and some 100? I still don't know that. We're all good soil in here today, all right? Well, I got to ask the Lord about that, and I thought, well, the only difference is if the seed is all the same, all right, and we're all good ground. Think about it as a farmer. What could be different? The farmer goes out and thing, he's got the same seed. The farmer over there's got the same seed. The farmer down the road's got the same seed. They all got the same ground. Okay? So what's different? The only thing I could think of is this. You take that seed of the Word of God that's here, but let's say you divide it up. Let's say instead of, even though the gospel gives a hundredfold return, let's say all I preach in my church, or all I read in my Bible, because I'm not receiving the rest of it, is the new birth. I don't believe healing's for today. I don't believe God wants to prosper his children. I think that you know, name it and claim it group's nuts, you know. And I think that healing went out with the apostles, but I do believe in the new birth. Okay, see, there's a threefold man, isn't there? There's a spiritual side, there's our mental side, our soulish side, and there's our physical side, okay? Well, if all I believe is in the spiritual nourishment, the new birth, or something like that, even though the seed is all here, if I take a hundredfold seed, a seed that's capable of producing a hundredfold, which is the full logos of the Bible, but if I only take out part of it, let's say 30% of it, that deals with spiritual prosperity, in other words, like the new birth or something like that, and that's all I put in my ground, even though it gives a hundredfold, you take one-third or 30% of that hundredfold, and what do you get? 30-fold. You understand what I'm saying here? You take a hundredfold gospel potential, and you only preach one-third of it, or 30% of it, on spiritual, maybe, the new birth, and that's it, then even though that gospel is capable of producing a hundredfold, you've eliminated two types of the seed that all want to go in the ground together here. You've eliminated that, so it's producing a hundredfold, but only taking a third of the seed, 30% of the seed, you only get a 30-fold return. Can you see that? Okay, let's take another church. Let's say in this church, they're preaching the new birth. We know God wants us born again. And we also believe that God heals, and he wants to heal us, but we don't go for this name it and claim it group at all. We don't believe God wants to prosper us. Okay, these guys they're believing in spiritual prosperity, and they're even believing in healing for the body, say, physical healing. But they've neglected another thing. That church might bear fruit 60-fold, or that person that believes that. Even though the gospel's there, capable of producing 100-fold, they're blocking, they're not receiving part of it. Okay? But let's say you get in a church where we believe in prosperity for the whole man. We believe that the spirit needs to be nourished and prosper. We believe there needs to be word coming forth for healing, for physical healing for the body. We believe that God wants us to prosper. And we're preaching the full gospel. Now the Lord's got a potential here of really increasing the return, because people are getting all the seed together. And that seed can produce 100-fold? I got to thinking about that too. And I thought, why wouldn't it be 30, 60, 90? I mean, we got 30. I mean, three parts to a human body, right? There's three parts to us, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Okay, if all three things are getting preached and everything, 30-fold for one-third, 60-fold for the two of the three, and I keep coming up with 90-fold. Where did the 100-fold come from? I couldn't get that. And I thought, well, maybe God just says 100-fold. Maybe maybe I'm taking this too literally, beating it to death, as Mary Ann says. And she thinks I am right now. I know she does. She says, it's 100-fold. Who cares? You know, I'll take it right now. But, you know, I'm thinking, well, maybe there's something else here. Maybe, just maybe, there's a reason. And I'm not, you know, this is not dogma, but this is what I think. I'm up to 90-fold myself at this point. All right? Turn to Matthew 25, verse 28, and let's take a look at something here. For you that are terrible in math, just trust us, okay? Now we have the thing here about the 10 talents. Remember all that parable? There's two things in the Bible. As a matter of fact, why not, while we're here, we'll also open up to Luke 19 and just put your finger there for now. Verse 24, we'll go there. All right, so the story here is in Matthew 25, 28. We know the story. We know that if we go back up in here, we'll see that he gave one man 5 talents, one man 2 talents, and one man 1 talent, okay? And one with 5 talents gained 5 more talents. One with 2 talents gained 2 more talents. One with 1 talent didn't do nothing with it, didn't do anything with it, okay? So the first guy had 10 talents when he was done. His 5 earned another 5. He had 10, okay? We get all done with this in verse 20, 8, the Lord says, when he finds out the one guy didn't do anything with his talent, the Lord says, that's not a good thing to do. So he does an interesting thing. He says, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that has the 10 talents. See that? So the Lord took the one talent from the guy who wasn't producing and he gave it to the guy that had 10 talents. Now what percent of 10 is 1? 10%, okay. It's interesting. Okay, now just hold that in your mind for a second. Turn back here to Luke chapter 19. And you'll see that here a guy, he gave, let's see. His pound gained 10 pounds. Okay, verse 13. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, said, occupy till I come. So anyway, we go down through here, and this guy had 10 pounds he got. He got a return on his till he had a total of 10 pounds. We get down to verse 24, and this other guy didn't do anything with his talent again, and he said, give it to the guy that has the 10 pounds. Again, okay? It's the same thing as before, is all I'm saying. The guy that had 10 pounds got another talent, another pound on top of it, or he got another 10%, right? In both cases, it was 10%. That's kind of interesting. You know, we got two different stories, two different accounts, two different things, because in one case it was pounds, another place it was something else. So I think it might have been two separate instances. So the point is, this guy got back 10% bonus from God just for being doing it right. Even after he got 10 pounds. I think God just gives you another 10% for doing it right. You know? Now that's my own interpretation on it, but whatever reason, you know, I really believe that if you want to have a 90-fold to 100-fold return in your life, first of all, you've got to be the good soil, all right? And you've got to receive that word. You've got to take advantage of opportunities to receive the word. Did you notice since we started this class, now it isn't always this way, all we've talked about is the word, the word, the word, the word. I think the Lord really wants to get it down in our spirits that if we're going to grow with Him, there's no other way. You know, it's a shame that people are trying every way in the world to succeed or to grow as Christians, to be a success in life, and what God is saying, it won't happen without my word. It just won't happen. And if it does happen, if you do get a measure of success in this life, it won't be for me. You know, the enemy will prosper you too. Do you know that? He told Jesus he'd give him a lot of stuff if he would just fall down and worship him, didn't he? He says, because it's all been delivered unto me and I can give it to whoever I want to. That's what Satan told Jesus. It was delivered to him in the garden by Adam, wasn't it? And this world system, Satan can bless people. If he can give them finances, if he can hold them away from God and keep them so busy running a business or whatever. But God, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. In all the business I had over 20-some years in business, I have never worked over 35 or 40 hours a week. And I've been at home, working out of my home. It just seemed like it was work I loved to do. I enjoyed it. His yoke truly was easy for me, and it was light. I mean, there was intense times. I know, sometimes I'd stay up all night working on a program, just get something right. But then I would take off a couple days or something. I mean, on the average, and that was God's blessing. You know, that was God doing it His way. But, you know, I read out in the world, if you start your own business, you read all these things, be prepared to spend 80 to 90 hours a week the first couple of years till you get it rolling. Well, okay, if you want to, but I never had to do that. God just, if you're working that many hours, don't get condemned. I'm just saying, I didn't have to do that. And I considered it a blessing, and I still do. But it comes through the Word. You know, somewhere early on, I told my mom, after she witnessed to me and everything, I said, Mom, there's just something about this. There's a key here to everything in this Bible. And over and over and over and over and over and over, I said, my son, attend to my words, you know, do my word, meditate in my word. Why? Because the system in the world does not work the way a Christian wants it to work. If you want to bust your tail and work 120 hours a week and everything, and do it that way, okay. But I don't think God has it set up that way for his kids. He wants them to have time left over for their families, time left over for their spouse, time left over for church. He doesn't want to be exhausted all the time. And it comes through getting in the Word. You know, somebody said to me the other day, he says, well, I don't get in the Word in the mornings. You know, when I get up, I'm gone. I need to get going, you know. And I thought, well, okay. But I do. The first thing I do is I get up is I spend an hour or two with the Lord. Why? Because I have found out it saves me at least that much time during the day. At least. Just starts things off right. God cuts a corner here, shows me something here, you know, saves time, whatever. Make it a habit. You know, really receive what God's trying to say here. I mean, I've come to the realization that what he's saying after all this time is tell my people, and you know this, most of you, and I know it too, but he's saying it won't, the things that they're searching for will not come outside of my word. These are the last days. It's very important that you stay close to my word so you don't get lost, so you don't get swallowed up in everything that's going on in the world. You know, as things get darker and darker and darker, we'll shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Because that's what happens when things get dark. Anything that, a flashlight in a lighted room doesn't look very bright. And God wants to make sure that we survive everything that's coming in good fashion. I don't believe that Christians in the last days are going to be running around in fear, you know, and it's going to be horrible. But the same word's going to work. You know, if the whole world is having problems receiving their needs, as far as I'm concerned, Luke 6:38 and the rest of it still works. Malachi 3:10. God will get it to you. I don't know if this has helped you any, but I'll tell you what. It really helped me to see that Jesus was telling me, look, Mike, if you want to be good soil where my word can prosper in, make sure that you keep your mind open to my word, that you receive it. Everything in my Bible. You know, when you get up in the morning and when you open the Bible, Mike, just tell the Holy Spirit that you need his help. Tell him that you know the word is all true. Tell him it's the most precious thing in your life. It says, delight thyself in the word. Delight thyself in the promises of God. Delight yourself in the Bible. Attitude is everything when you come before God to read his word. Then meditate in it. You know, really, you know, if you got a problem, something in life that's bugging you, you know, if you got a concordance, or in the back of most Bibles, they got a concordance. If it's money, look up finances or whatever, and just start reading the verses. And see, that's how I got out of a financial mess. One day I saw it said, give some money away if you want it. Oh, this is revolutionary. You want to get out of debt? Give something away. But I thought, well, you know, just maybe it might work, because I got born again the same way it said to get born again. You'd be a new creature. I was a new creature. And I believed in my heart God raised Jesus from the dead and confessed in my mouth that he was my Lord now, and changed my whole life. Just maybe, some of the rest of this stuff is true too. And it's all the same word. And it says in there, if he's given you his own son, how much more will he give us all these other things? We've seen his performance in the most difficult giving, would be for me, to give my own son or my own daughter, and to see them go through what Jesus did. Now, if you knew that I was that kind of, if I was that kind of a giver, and you'd seen me do something like that, and then you needed some little pittance, and you knew I loved you, wouldn't you think I'd probably do that too? That's all God's saying here, I think, is you've seen me give the biggest gift to mankind that ever was. Now I want to do for these little things too. But it seems like sometimes we have more trouble receiving the little things than we did the big thing. So hold fast to that word. When you stick to something, when you've received it, when it's come in, when you've meditated upon it, then when it looks like nothing's going right, hold fast to what the word says. Hold fast to it with patience. It says in Hebrews 6:12, it's by faith and patience that we what? Inherit the promises. Faith and patience. Okay. That's enough for tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your holy word, Lord. I just ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you just cause this word to go deep in our hearts tonight, Lord, and just to amplify in each one of our lives, Lord, that how important the word of God is, Lord, that that's where success is, that's where blessing is, that's where you are. Lord, just help us get it down in our spirits, Father. I don't think really
any of us here realize fully what it really means, what the benefits truly are to your word, Lord. We're just scratching the surface. And I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to help us to go deeply into this thing, Lord, and to get it deep in our spirits, that what you want to do for us, Lord, and how it's all tied in with the word that you've given us, Father. Now, Father, as we go our ways this week, I just ask you in the name of Jesus to continue to do what you did last week, Lord. Show us areas of our lives, Lord, where we can begin to do this word. Lord, just let that mirror shine in each one of our lives and show us areas, Lord, that are blocking us or things that we need to correct so that you can bless us and make us the receivers that you want us to be, Father. Just show each one, Father. I'm just reaching out with my faith right now, Father, in Jesus' name. And I'm asking for each one of these people here, each one, Father, this week, everyone in this room, that you would show them one thing in their lives, Lord, that you're trying to speak to them about. And then show them what your word says and what they need to do to receive that blessing and to get past this momentary hurdle that's in their path, Father. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Okay, let's go over the homework for lesson 15, which I've entitled Bearing Fruit a Hundredfold. And remember, this is a series we're on called Growing Up Spiritually. And this is part 3, Bearing Fruit 100-fold. First question, the homework. Now remember, these questions all have to do with the parable of the sower, since that was the subject of the lesson. All right, first question, true or false? God put this lesson on fruit bearing in the Bible primarily to help farmers be successful. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. Although, this lesson on fruit bearing could help farmers. It could help anybody, really. But primarily, the reason God did put this lesson in the Bible wasn't just to help farmers, it was to help all of us. Next question, true or false? The only part of the fruit bearing process man can control is the quality of the seed. Is that true or false? Well, that's false, isn't it? Remember, we learned in the parable of the sower that the part that we can control is the soil. That's who we are. The seed is, we'll discuss that more in the next question. So that's false the way it is. Next question. The seed is the words we speak, and the soil is the heart of the ones who hear what we say. Is that true or false? Well, that's just backwards, isn't it? That's false. To make that true, you would read it this way. The seed is the words God speaks in his word. And the soil is the heart of the ones who hear what he says. So we have it just backwards the way I have it there. So it's false the way it's stated. Should read again one more time. The seed is the words that God speaks in his word. See, the seed is the word of God. And the soil is the heart of the ones who hear what he has to say in his word. So that would be us. So the seed is the word sown by God, and the soil is our hearts that receive that word. Next question. Fruit bearing, or being successful in life, depends primarily on the abilities God has given us and how hard we try. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. Fruit bearing doesn't have anything to do with the abilities God has given us or how hard we try. No. The fruit bearing really depends more on us hearing, receiving, and doing what God's word says. And so it's really up to us, not some ability God has given us or how hard we try. You know, we can try really hard to bear fruit in life, but unless we do it through God's word, it's not going to work very well. Remember, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. In John 15, Jesus said this. Without me, you can do nothing. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the living Word of God. So to bear fruit, we have to hear, receive, and do what God's Word says. Bearing fruit is going to be very limited in our life if we just depend upon abilities God has given us and on how hard we try. See, God gives us certain abilities, but then we have to use the Word of God to put those abilities to work. You know, it's more than just receiving a gift. It has to do with hearing, receiving, and doing what God's word says. So that's false, the way it's written there. Next question. The three characteristics of a person who has good soil are they blank, blank, and blank, the Word of God, they blank. What would go in those blanks? The three characteristics of a person who has good soil are they, number one, receive, then understand, and then keep the Word of God they hear. Okay, next question. The three characteristics of a person who has good soil are they blank, blank, and blank, the Word of God they blank. What goes in those blanks? Okay, let's go back and fill those blanks in. The three characteristics of a person who has good soil are they receive, understand, and keep the Word of God they hear. If you remember, there were three different gospel accounts of the parable of the sower. One was in Mark, one was in Matthew, and one was in Luke. In Luke's account, he emphasizes the keeping the Word of God. In Matthew's account, he emphasizes the understanding of the Word of God. And in Mark's account, he emphasizes the receiving of the Word of God. The verse is very similar in all three accounts, except for these three words are different. And so what does that mean? It means we're to do all three, doesn't it? So the three characteristics of a person who has good soil is, number one, they receive the Word of God, as Mark said. Number two, they understand the Word of God, as Matthew said. And there'll be more about this understanding in the next question. And number three, they keep the Word of God, as Luke said. And what Word of God is that? They keep, receive, and understand the Word of God they hear. Here goes in the last blank. So the blanks are filled with receive, understand, keep, and hear. Next question. Receiving the Word of God means to hear the Word with our ears. Is that true or false? Well, that's necessary, but it's really false, because that's not primarily what the Word of God means when it talks about receiving the Word of God. I mean, anytime you're in the presence of the Word going forth, your ears are going to mechanically pick up that which is spoken. But just because it's the Word of God goes into your ears doesn't mean it's necessarily received into the heart, right? So that's false. Receiving the Word of God doesn't just mean to hear the Word with our ears. We have to open our heart and receive it inside. Next question. The key to understanding the Word of God is to meditate on the Word and not just read it. Is that true or false? That's true. Really, if you go back and look at the meaning of the word understand in Matthew 13:23, I'll just quote it. Jesus said, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30." The way we understand today is that it's the ability to comprehend. And that's not what Jesus really meant here. If you go back and look it up in the Greek, it actually means to consider closely, or to set or join together in the mind. In other words, it's more than just, "Oh, I didn't understand that." No, it means to make an effort to understand, to ponder, to set or join together in the mind. Or really what it means is to meditate God's Word. So the way this is written, the key to understanding the Word of God is to meditate in the Word and not just read it, is true. But that word understand in that verse, I just wanted you to know, means more than just the ability to comprehend. That kind of puts the burden on someone else to teach us rather than us just opening our heart and considering it and meditating on it, making an effort to understand. It'd be a better definition. Okay, let's go on to the next question. Another definition for keeping the Word of God is to blank what it says. What would go in there? Another definition for keeping the Word of God is simply to do what it says. See, hearing and receiving the Word of God is only a means to the end of doing what that Word says. We don't complete the faith equation until we actually do the Word. It's faith plus doing that gets the results, doing what God's Word said. Not enough just to hear it. A lot of people think that if they just hear the Word, that will be enough. That's a necessary first step. But the reason we hear the word is so that we can apply it to our lives. Okay, next question. True or false? The best way to keep the word is to find those parts of the word that agree with what my church teaches and then do that. Is that true or false? Well, in general, that's false. That's not the best way. It might be okay. I mean, especially if your church is teaching the full gospel. But don't put the responsibility just on your church. To be safe, we should verify that word for ourselves. In other words, God holds us responsible for the word he gave the world, not just what we sit back and let people tell us about that word. See, we have to make an effort. I'll give you an example. All my life, when I was younger, up till the age where I was born again, in after I was married, I was a young father and husband when I finally received the Lord as my Savior. But all before that time, I went to a church where they told us that what we needed to do to be sure of salvation and going to heaven was to be baptized as an infant and to just really do the best we can, to live the best we could for God. And if we did that, they were pretty sure. You know, nobody really came out for sure and said 100% this is what was going to happen. But, you know, God is a just God, and if we'll be baptized as infants and do our very best, then we'll be pretty sure of eternal life in heaven. That's what my church taught, and for years I relied on their knowledge of the Bible and what God said for my salvation. Although, to be perfectly honest, I was nervous about this, and every Sunday, pretty much, when I would go to church, I'd pray this prayer. I said, God, help me to live my life. This is an engineer's prayer. God, help me to live my life in a manner most consistent with sharing everlasting happiness with you in heaven, whatever that is. So I was covering all my bases. I wasn't sure what I had to do to receive everlasting life. I had an idea. It had something to do with how I live my life. But I prayed this all-inclusive prayer. Help me to live my life in a manner most consistent was sharing everlasting happiness with you in heaven. And I prayed that for years. And finally, God got through to me what was required to spend eternity with him. And that was simply to trust in what his son Jesus did for me on that cross, when he took all my sins upon him. And then I heard that if I would just believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with my mouth that Jesus was now my Lord, I would be saved. See, up to that time, I had not known that there was something up to me. God was waiting on me. It was sort of like one of these, you ever play checkers with somebody? And you're sitting there and you're thinking, I hope they move pretty soon. My gosh, it's been a while. And the other guy's sitting there thinking the same thing about you. Both thinking it's the other person's move. And that's, I think, the way it was with God and me. I was waiting on God to make a move to save me, and God was waiting on me to make a move to take him up on what he'd promised in his word, and that was just to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and then confess with my mouth that Jesus was my Lord. I didn't know. I was relying on what my church said. So that's a long way of answering this one question of the best way to keep the word is to find those parts of the word that agree with what my church teaches and then do that. That might be okay, but to be safe, you better verify it for yourself. So that question is false. True or false? Not everyone will interpret what the Bible teaches the same way. That's true. Not everyone will interpret what the Bible teaches the same way. So that's true. But the next question, it goes along a little further on this. That's why we're all entitled to our own opinion. As long as we're sincere in what we believe, God will see that we bear fruit. Is that true or false? That's false. The first question, not everyone will interpret the Bible teaches the same way, is true, but it's false that we're all entitled to our own opinion. And as long as we're sincere in what we believe, God will see that we bear fruit. See, you know, our own opinion and sincerity don't have anything to do with it. We might be, I mean, I was sincere. I wanted to go to heaven, but if I'd have died before I heard what Jesus had done for me and how to apply that to my life, I'd have gone straight to hell. But I had my opinion, my church had an opinion, and I was sincere, but I would be sincerely wrong. So, even though we're entitled, we have a free will to our own opinion. That doesn't have anything to do with bearing fruit. if unless my opinion lines up with the Word of God, unless my sincerity is based upon keeping God's Word, then I'm not going to bear any fruit. So, you know, we're entitled to our own opinion in a free will sense, but it takes more than our own opinion and being sincere to bear fruit in our lives and to actually spend eternity with Him. So that's false. True or false? My church has the primary responsibility to see that I hear the full gospel. True or false? That's false. They do have a responsibility, but they can only go insofar as they know. And some churches do teach the full gospel, and some don't. And if we rely on our church primarily, we can be wrong. We can get in error. We have the responsibility. That's the point I'm trying to get across here. God left us His Word. And it is our responsibility, each one of us on this earth, to make sure that we make an effort to hear what God's Word has to say and interpret that Word for ourselves. So we have that primary responsibility. God provided His Word, and it's us up to us to avail ourselves of it. So that's false. The key to interpreting the Bible correctly and then bearing fruit in life is to hear, believe, blank, and then I give a hint for what goes in that blank, and then blank, and I give the hint that goes what goes in that blank, the Word. That's kind of jerky the way I read that there. Let's go over it again. The key to interpreting the Bible correctly and then bearing fruit in life is to hear, believe, blank, and then blank, the Word. What goes in there? Okay, and I gave you some hints. Okay, let's go over it. The key to interpreting the Bible correctly and then bearing fruit in life is to hear. That's number one. Number two is to believe or to receive what we hear. No, we're talking about God's Word here. And number three is a blank. What goes in that blank? And I give you a hint of 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15 says what? It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So study, or you could even put meditate, goes in that blank. So in the first blank, study. Hear, believe, study, or meditate. And then blank. Well, if you go back to Joshua 1:8, which is your hint, it says if we observe to do what is in the Word, then we will be blessed in all that we do. So what goes in those two blanks is the first blank, either study or meditate, and in the second blank, do the Word. See? So all together it would be to hear, believe or receive, study or meditate, and then do what the Word says. Next question, true or false? If I believe in the new birth, but have my doubts about whether God wants to heal me when I'm sick, I can still bear fruit 100-fold in my life. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. If you only believe in the new birth, you go to heaven, and that's great, and that's the most important thing. But the quality of your life on earth will be less if you do not know and understand that the full gospel teaches that God does not want us sick. He sent His Son here that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. It says in Matthew 8:17 that Himself, the Lord Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sickness. It says in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. And if we go back and find out what was in the curse He redeemed us from, it was poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. So God doesn't want us sick. But if we don't know that, then we're not going to bear fruit 100-fold in our lives. Even though we believe in the new birth, and that's great, and that's number one, and we'll go to heaven, the quality of our life won't be the best because we don't understand and haven't heard maybe yet that God doesn't want you sick. So the answer to that question is false. You can't bear fruit 100-fold in your life unless you believe the full gospel. Next question. It's similar to the last question. If I believe in the new birth and also believe God wants to heal me when I'm sick, but I'm not sure whether He wants me to prosper, I can still bear fruit 100-fold in my life. Well, that's false for the same reason the last one was. Yes, you believe one more thing. You believe that God wants to heal you. But if you're still not sure whether God wants you to prosper, you're still not going to be bearing fruit 100-fold in your life. A lot of people have trouble with this prosperity question. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 comes to mind that helped straighten me out on this subject. Let me turn to that. Well, first of all, 3 John 2 says that, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And that's what the Apostle John wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, God wishes above all things that we might prosper and be in health. He wants us to prosper and be in health as well as be saved. That's the full gospel, prospering in all that we do. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able, and he's talking about, if you look at this whole chapter, he's talking about giving money for the gospel, giving, sowing, not sowing sparingly. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. The person that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. And he's talking about giving into these different people here that needed finances, and that even Paul needed finances occasionally. And so he's talking about giving to the ministry of the saints, and he's talking about money here. And in verse 8 he says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you," talking about finances abounding toward us, "so that we, having all sufficiency in all things, in turn may abound to every good work." In other words, God wants us to receive, be prosper in life, so that we will have all that we need and abound to every good work. If we're one of these people that sit back and say, "Oh God, I don't want you to prosper me. I just think that, you know, I don't want any of that filthy lucre," then we can't bless others. And God wants us to give to his ministries and to bless others. And so we need to prosper so that we can, as it says in this verse, "having all sufficiency in all things for ourselves, then may also abound to every good work." And that is helping his ministries. And so God does want us to prosper. So we're not going to bear 100 fruit in our lives if we don't believe in this truth. Okay, so I think I've made that point. Let's go on to the next question. The only sure way to bear fruit 100-fold in my life is to blank, blank, and blank the full gospel. What goes in those blanks? The only way to bear fruit 100-fold in my life is to hear, believe, or receive, you could say in that blank, and do the full gospel. So hear, believe, and do. Hear, believe, and do. Or hear, receive, and do. Either one would work in there. But we need to hear it first, then we need to believe what we hear, and to believe it and to really receive it into our heart, we need to meditate on that word, and then do what it says. Next question. God is interested in the whole blank full man bearing fruit by his word. Blank, blank, and blank. What goes in those blanks? God is interested in the whole threefold man bearing fruit by his word. Okay, what would those three parts of man be? Spirit, soul, and body. So God is interested in the whole threefold man bearing fruit by his word or from his word. Spirit, soul, and body. God wants us to prosper and to bear fruit in our spirit, in our soul, primarily from getting our mind renewed with the word of God. That's our mind, and our body. He wants us to be healed, healthy, and whole. God is interested in the whole threefold man. So there, that's what goes in those blanks. Next question. Jesus said in Matthew 13:23, which is part of the parable of the sower, that all who hear the word would bring forth fruit 100-fold. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. He didn't say that. Let's go back and read what he did say in Matthew 13:23. He said, "He that receives seed into the good ground." First of all, we have to be good ground, don't we? So that wouldn't be all. Everybody isn't good ground. They all could be, but for various reasons, we all aren't good ground all the time. And in fact, this lesson was teaching us how to be good ground. In other words, to hear and believe and receive God's word and then do what it says. Okay, so that's false. All who hear the word don't bring fruit 100-fold. Jesus said some would bring forth 30, some 100, and some 60. And some won't bring forth any fruit at all if they don't receive it in the first place. I mean, a farmer goes out, and if he doesn't throw that seed in the ground, no fruit's going to come up. So if we refuse the Word of God, or refuse to receive it into our heart, or even receive it in and then don't keep it in there. After a while, when persecution arises for the Word's sake, we let it go. We're not going to bear fruit 100-fold or even 30-fold or 60-fold. And then the third case was, well, that seed springs up among thorns and it chokes it out. We have to get through those three things to receive the seed into the good ground. All those three things in the parable of the sower, the rocky soil, the seed on the wayside, and the seed sown among the thorns, all of those things have to be gotten through to get to the point where we're good soil. So that's false. Not all who hear the word will bring forth fruit 100-fold, but God sure wishes they would. And if we do it the way God says do it, we will. And our last question, if we do not respond to the gospel, God may take the reward we have gotten for hearing, believing, and doing what it says and give it to someone else. Is that true or false? Well, folks, that's sad but true. We don't have to fall into this category, but if we don't do anything with what God gives us, the parable of the talents and the parable of the pounds in Matthew 25, 28, and Luke 19, 24, tell us that God will finally just take what he wanted to bless us with and give it to someone else. And so I don't want to end this teaching on that sort of seemingly harsh note, but we don't have to be like that, do we? All we have to do is to avail ourselves of his word and then receive it into our heart if it is his word, and then meditate on that word, and then do what that word says. And if we'll do those things, God promises that we will bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And that's what God wants. And I think if we're smart Christians, that's what we're going to want too.